So Steve Elkins, tell me about the genesis of Camp Rehoboth. Why did you think it was important for the LGBT community to organize?
Well, actually, when Murray Archibald, who is now my husband, Murray and I were weekenders in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. This was back in all through the 80s, and in 1990 we moved here full-time. There was a bumper sticker that said, "Keep Rehoboth a family town." We knew what that meant. So we decided to take it head-on and say we wanted it to be a family town as well, but families come in all sizes, all shapes, and all orientations. And we decided to start the organization called Camp Rehoboth. CAMP is an acronym for Create a More Positive Rehoboth. We wanted to have a positive outlook on our town where we all worked to build a safe and inclusive community with room for all.
Right. And you started your organization in the early 90s.
January 1991 is when we incorporated.
Wow.
And we really started it as just a group of people that wanted to work with different organizations and groups in the community to make sure that we all had a stake in making it, as I say, a safe and inclusive community. We had no idea it would grow to be an organization that owns a huge piece of property on Baltimore Avenue. I always jokingly say we own it, but the bank owns a lot of it. But we
right.
have a stake in town, and we are really an integral part of making the community an exciting place where we all can be prosperous and all can be safe.
Right.
And that's what it was all about. John Hughes, who was mayor at the time of that bumper sticker, the infamous Keep It a Family Town, he was quoted 10 years later in the Washington Post saying that if he were doing a bumper sticker then, it would say Keep Rehoboth a Diverse Town. And he credited
oh.
Camp Rehoboth and others for putting a face on the issue.
And the gay community is an important part of the Rehoboth Beach culture now. What was it like in the early 90s?
Well, it's been an important part for decades, but it was sort of an invisible behind-the-scenes part of it. But in the 80s, it's when places like the Blue Moon opened on Baltimore Avenue and the Strand, which was a dance club on Rehoboth Avenue, places where people were all of a sudden a little more visible than some in the community thought they should be. But we also had people that were gay and lesbian that were making a stake in the community and putting down roots and saying, not only am I going to have a weekend house here, I'm going to own a business, and I'm going to be upfront about who I am.
Right.
And, of course, businesses are the smartest people. They always know where the money is coming from. And so the business community immediately accepted it. Some of the political people and some of the civic associations were not quite as eager to accept the visibility of the gay and lesbian community, but...
Well, I imagine that's a challenge when you're trying to start an organization and get it off the ground. You want, you know, supporters to help keep the organization going. So how did you do that in the early days?
Well, it was all galvanized in 1993, actually. It started in 92, but in 1993, there was a horrendous gay bashing on the south end of the boardwalk. And it happened the first weekend of June, which I think was the weekend after Memorial Day. There were some gay men that were attacked by some young men from north of Rehoboth, from the Lincoln area, that had come in looking for a party. They couldn't find a party, and they said, well, let's go beat up some gay people. They didn't use those words, but I'll use those words. And they came down, and there was an altercation on the boardwalk. Two people were seriously hurt, one critically hurt. He did recover. But that was the time that we were very fortunate in Rehoboth that we had a police chief, Craig Doyle, who was at the time the chief of police, that said, we're not going to accept this. We're not going to have gay bashings. We're not going to have anything to do, even though it was not a protected class. I'm going to consider this a hate crime. He went to bat with Camp Rehoboth, and we went to the city officials and to the chamber and others who might have been a little more ready to sweep it under the carpet because it was the start of the season. And Chief Doyle said, we're not going to sweep this under the carpet. We're going to face this issue. And that was a turning point. Everybody came together, the mayor, the city manager, the chief of police. And from then on, we've had a town that said, we're not going to accept this type of hate crimes and any intolerance toward any group of people. So we were very fortunate that we had people there at the right time.
how does the organization work with local politicians and leaders and, you know, the police force in terms of these types of attacks or events against the gay community?
Well, we were the first people to really identify ourselves as, at the time, gay and lesbian organization. We since have added LGBT. We have not always been as upfront and adding gender identity, which we've done in the last several years. But at the time, we called ourselves a gay and lesbian organization, and we were the vocal place. We were the focal point for people to come and say, I've been discriminated against, or I think I have, and that I need your help, with whether it was with a business or whether it was with a next-door neighbor that was treating them differently or whatever. And we started it by saying we didn't want to be just an outside group that was looked at as not being a part of the community, but being the person you go to for problems. But we wanted to be a part of the solution. So we met with the Chamber of Commerce and with Main Street, Rehoboth Beach Main Street, with city commissioners and with others, and said, we'd like to be a partner at the table. And that's where we started, and it grew from there.
And I want to turn the conversation towards some of your other initiatives, particularly towards gaining access to health resources. So how does your organization do that for the gay community?
Well, in 1996, I was approached by some people from the Division of Public Health, Department of Human Resources in the state, at the height of the AIDS crisis that was hitting smaller areas. It had hit New York and San Francisco and other major metropolitan areas much sooner, but it was hitting small states like Delaware, and they came to us and asked if we would consider helping put together an outreach program that would be a model program for education and prevention programs for HIV and AIDS. We started a program called Camp Safe. Our approach was that people were coming to the beach, and I don't know what it is. I guess we see that from June bugs and from everybody else. When you go to the beach, you sort of throw your inhibitions away, but you need to make sure that you keep your guard up just as much as when you're at home. So we started a program to reach out to, and our time was with Camp Safe is a program that reaches out to men who have sex with men and talk about the importance of safer sex and of guidelines for making sure that you were not throwing your inhibitions away when you came into a resort area.
Right.
That program grew exponentially. We started off with just a small program with Camp Safe, and our contract has been renewed every year, and it continues to grow. And we have a huge outreach program for men's health issues, not only for HIV, but for other sexually transmitted diseases. We have a licensed clinical social worker on staff that has a PhD in sexual health counseling. We do testing. We do other areas of health for not only HIV, but we also have a women's health program where we have joint projects with the Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition, with the Cancer in Common group in the Rehoboth area, with the Maltner Project out of Washington, D.C., and others where, and BB Medical Center especially, where we are, it's now called BB Healthcare, where we reach out to the community for health, not only for the gay and lesbian community, but to say we're part of the whole community. So no matter what sexual orientation you identify with, come in and get checked. And it's really been a huge success.
So now that the organization is in its 25th year, how has the mission sort of changed or evolved over time?
Well, you know, somebody asked me the other day why we still need an organization like this. And it was right before the legislation was passed in Indiana and similar legislation in Arkansas, where people were passing bills and legislation that was being touted as protecting religious freedom, but the people that were passing it were saying, it's so that we don't have to serve gay and lesbian people if we don't want to, so that we can discriminate. So every time we think that issues have been taken care of and that we're all just going to work together for a safe place, homophobia seems to rear its ugly head. So we find nowadays with young people that think suicide is the only way to deal with a different life choice that they make, their sexual orientation, something they're born with, that they think they're the only one that has this issue in front of them. every time that we find someone that has a diagnosis of HIV and thinks that the world is over for them, every time that we find somebody that has gender identity questions and feels that their gender is not necessarily the gender with which they were born and that they're being discriminated against, every time we see those, we know there's still a need for an organization like Camp Rehoboth.